God reigns forever, doesn't he? I'm telling you what, I was thinking about that that song we sang before this one. Because he's with me, I will not fear. Amen. You know, years and years ago, not that long ago, probably 3 or 4 years ago, I used to deal with fear literally every week before getting up to preach. Every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, and then we went to two services, and you got it twice on Sunday. Wondering if you're going to be good enough. You know, you feel like so often in preaching that your work is on display in front of hundreds and hundreds of people each and every week. The job that you put in to do it, the work that you put in to do it. And that insecurity of, I wonder if I'm good enough. I wonder if I can do this. I wonder if people will come back to the church, come back to hear me. And I tell you what, friends, I got delivered from that. And it's because of a revelation of what we sang in that song, because he's with me, I will not fear. And when you get a revelation that God is your helper, that God is your source, that God, he is the ultimate fixer, that he can fix things. He can fix you. He can fix your situation. There's nothing he cannot turn around. Nothing he cannot change. He's a fixer. That's what he does. And friend, I'm telling you, our God is still performing miracles today. I got a text last night around 10 o'clock from a minister who ministered here last year named Nathaniel Wolf. I think he was out street witnessing, and he came across a man who was blind, had been blind for a number of years, had had over 22 surgeries on his eyes to restore his sight. Brother Nathaniel asked him if he could pray with him and just lay his hands on him. And friend, I'm telling you what, he texted me back and said that they prayed and laid hands on him. And that man started seeing light. And then it moved over into being able to see figures. And then it moved over into being able to see clearly. He threw the cane away, accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Amen. The God of miracles is still alive and well. And there is nothing about your life that God cannot work out, fix, turn around, change. He is a God of miracles. And he is ever with you, even to the ends of the earth. So because of that, I don't know about you, but I will not fear. I will not be intimidated by any trick of the enemy, by any lie of life. I will not fear because he is with me. Amen. Amen and amen. Before we do anything else at all this morning, let's go before our God in prayer. Father, we come before you today and we thank you that you are a God of miracles. That, Father, that there is nothing that these people are facing, nothing that any individual in this place this morning has been experiencing in this week or last week or the last couple of months, nothing that they've been going through that you cannot fix, that you cannot change, that you cannot turn around. So, Father, we thank you that the God of miracles, our Heavenly Father, is performing miracles in this season for these people here. That in this season of life, they see the handiwork of God all over their life, Father. That they see your goodness and taste of it. Work miracles in the lives of these people. We thank you, Lord, for it. And Father, I thank you today that you are my helper. And Father, as we already said today, that we can do nothing without you. But Father, with you, we don't have to have a fear or a worry because you are our sufficiency. And so, Father, we thank you that while I'm speaking with my natural voice, that these people hear you in their hearts, that they leave this place better people, better individuals, filled with divine purpose and divine grace to fulfill that purpose. We thank you, Lord, for it. And we'll be quick to give you all the praise and all the glory, for you and you alone are worthy, and you alone deserve all the praise. We thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Turn to two or three people. Tell them, I will not fear. Amen. And you can be seated. No, we don't have a fear or care in the world, do we? If it's not pure and holy, we don't think on it. We don't dwell on it. If you can't give Christ praise for it, we just refuse to take that thought. I like how Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 6, take no thought. That in order to worry, in order to fear, you have to take that thought. You take it, you dwell on it, you meditate on it. Just like a package, if the UPS man came to your door and rang the doorbell and he had a package of something deadly, something harmful, just say, maybe you're afraid of snakes. It was a big box of snakes. And you could see the snakes through the little holes, and he wanted to drop it off at your door, but you had to sign for it. I don't know about you. I'm not taking that box. No, I'm not bringing that in my house. I'm not even shaking his hand. I'm closing the door and locking it and setting my Pennington and Trim alarm system. Amen. No, you have to take it. Well, it's the same way with the enemy. If you resist the devil, he'll flee. But if you just sit back and take thought and meditate on it, then fear, friend, fear will set in your life. Now, don't take those thoughts. If it's not pure, if it's not holy, don't think about it. Don't dwell on it. Just refuse to take the thought and move on. Amen? Amen. Open up your Bibles with me this morning to the book of 2 Samuel. On the screens, go to Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, our ushers will be in the aisles now. You can lift up your hand and they'll be more than glad to give you a Bible. We're opening those Bibles to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 20. On the screens, the book of Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4. I want to thank all the men for coming out to Mighty Men yesterday. We had a wonderful time in the Lord and able to talk men stuff. And it's always good to talk men stuff. And I tell you what, just talking to a couple of the men after the service, you can see the importance of doing it. And so I want to thank all the volunteers who helped us put it on, all the staff who worked on it during the week. We had a great event. Look forward to holding another one. We've got Power Up, which is where we meet on Monday mornings, the first of every month. That one's coming up the first Monday in April. It's at Table 100 at 7 o'clock. We'll be continuing our interview with Jesse Mitchell, the former Ole Miss football player, really captain of the defensive side of the ball. He was on the same team as Eli Manning. They both graduated together, and later he went to the Baltimore Ravens, played a little while there in training camp, but then came back and got a law degree, and now he's a lawyer in the Jackson metro area and is a member of the church here. So we'll be picking up our interview with him this coming Monday, or I guess the first Monday in April. Is that next Monday? And that's not tomorrow, is it? No, next Monday. And so you can sign up for that. It's $8 per person. We want to encourage you to come out to that. All the men who are looking forward to just meeting other men, as well as hearing success stories in business, how Christ has impacted the lives of businessmen, you can come out to Power Up. We're going to have a great time. And then for the ladies, we've got, and they wanted to make sure I talked about this, because I've been pushing the men's event so hard that I opened up my door and this was on the floor of my office there. They slid it under the door to make sure I talked about it. So I definitely want to plug this, or else I'm going to be in trouble. We've got a Bloom, our women's deal, coming up on Saturday, April the 14th. It's from 10 a.m. To 12 noon. The theme is everything's fine. Everything's going to be all right. That's what they're going to be talking about. You can sign up for that at the Info Center. There's a Bloom table out there in the foyer, life groups table, and at the preschool check-ins, you can sign up to come to our Bloom women's events. With all of our big men's events, the Mighty Men, and with the women's events, the big ones, the Bloom, they are always free. Free food, no registration for the meeting, no nothing. It's free. It's a service we want to provide to you all. So like we always say, say, no price means no excuse. You can come out to it. We want you to come and be blessed by it. We had over 300 men sign up for the men's Mighty Men deal. So ladies, I think we've got more ladies in the church than men. I could be wrong with that. But I want to encourage you, see if you can beat us. See if you can beat us. We'll see, but see if you can. Healthy competition is good. Just ask my wife. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 20. Well, you know, we'll start off with our screen here in Numbers. Numbers 21 and verse 4. We started talking about last week about how to overcome discouragement. Discouragement is when you've lost heart. We said this last week. I think it's so good. You know you're discouraged when you're losing your passion for the journey. At one point, there was a big vision in your heart, a big idea of what life could be like, what life could look like. And with vision comes excitement. It's impossible to separate the two. When there's vision in your heart, there is courage there. There is excitement there. There's an anticipation because you know you're going somewhere that's better than where you are now. But when you're discouraged, you've lost heart. You've lost courage. You've lost motivation for the future. Instead of an idea of, man, life is going to be great, you're either looking at the present and trying to survive, or you're looking back to the past with regret. And what had happened here with the children of Israel, we said last week, is they had this big idea of God delivering them from Egyptian bondage, going over into a land that was a perfect land, flowing with milk and honey. They had a high expectation of what life could be like. But the Bible says in Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4, it said, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom." And the soul, that's the mind, the will, the emotions of a man, the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. You see, after this, they fall over into complaining. They fall over into murmuring. They fall back into a place of looking back at the past, Egyptian bondage, a terrible life that they had, but looking back at that and saying, I wish we could go back there. They were discouraged because of the way. If you've lived long enough on this earth, you've dealt with discouragement. In this life, we will face tests and trials, tribulations. You got to know how to handle it. And the most important thing in the middle of all that discouragement is for you to realize that I've got to maintain vision for my life. If you lose vision for your life, vision for your family, vision for your business, in my case, vision for this church, for this ministry, immediately things will begin to perish. Where there is no vision, people, organizations, businesses perish. And the way you know you've lost vision is discouragement has set in. An example of what we're talking about. It's here in 2 Samuel. We said last week that the first reason why a lot of times people are discouraged is they're trying to bring a past season into a new season. That they're trying to hold on to the past and bring that over into the new, comparing the new season with what they had in the old. The example that I gave for my personal life was when my father passed away. I was in Bible school that first year, and it hit me that he was gone, and I had a new season of life, a new journey, a new vision, but I wasn't enjoying any of it because I was holding on to that past season. And we said that in life, we've got to learn when to let go. When a season changes, it's time to move on. And we said that that's not always easy, but we've got to learn to do it because we'll never enjoy the life that we have if we continue to look back at the life we had. Does that make sense? We've got to learn when to let go. An example of this is in 2 Samuel. David has just committed adultery with Bathsheba. Obviously a huge, huge mistake. to top it off, she finds out that she is pregnant. Uriah, her wife, refuses to go in and lay with her because he wants to be an honorable man. And he said, I can't be in pleasure while these men are my men are out there in battle. And with that, David knows that he's going to be found out for this sin. He's going to be found out that this child is not Uriah's. And if anyone asks Bathsheba, who's the child the father of, she better tell him or she's going to get stoned. So David knows his neck is on the line. And so what he does is he has Uriah killed. Many of you know this story. He puts basically a hit out on him, and Uriah is killed in battle. He takes Bathsheba to be his wife, does this very quickly where it looks as if that they consummated their marriage very quickly, and out of that came a child. Nathan comes to David and says, you've been in sin. The judgment of God is going to come on your house. The wages of sin is always destruction. It's always death. It's not something we want to play around with. This destruction began hitting David's life. And apparently the child that Bathsheba had was a child that David was very close to. He set his love on this child. And this child began to fall very ill. And all of this is a result of David's transgression. And while the child is ill, David is mourning big time. He's in grief and sadness big time. So much so that the people, David's employees, were afraid to go up and even talk to David about it. They didn't even want to console him in fear that his emotions in that moment may overwhelm them and he would get angry with them. And so they're refusing to even talk to him about it. And finally, the child passes away. The child dies and goes to be with the Lord. And David hears about the news. In fact, he didn't hear about it because, once again, the servants were afraid to tell him, thinking of, if he's this emotional while the child is sick, how much more emotional is he going to be when he hears the child has died? And so they refuse to tell him, but David can see it on their faces. Your face will show off your heart. David could see it on their faces. And he asked him, is the child dead? And we'll pick up from there. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 20. It said, then David arose from the earth. This is after he found out that the child had passed away. David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. What an awesome thing. Now, keep in mind, the reason why this is happening in David's life is because of his mistake, because of his transgression. And when he hears that the child has passed away, instead of running from the Lord, which a lot of people do when they feel like that life is being destroyed because of their own actions, he runs to the Lord. He picks himself up. He showers. He shaves, basically. Puts on the garment of a worshiper. Goes into the house of the Lord and worships the Lord. I was telling the men this the other day, yesterday, and it's so important. It's in times of worship where you connect with God that God brings clarity to your life. It's in those times of worship, and you need them. You have to have them. You know, so often time, like I was telling the guys yesterday, we get caught up as Christians on trying to have quiet time. And we become so religious with it that we say, hey, I've got to read a certain amount of pages or a certain amount of chapters in the Bible or a certain amount of time in prayer. And we become so religious about it that we take the relationship out of it. Your personal devotional with the Lord is about connecting with Him. And there are some times in your life and mine where, you need to break up the routine. I was telling them sometimes where I sense of, man, the Bible is just not coming alive to me, that instead of just sitting there and reading it for the next 15 minutes, I'll get up and go take a walk. I'll get up and sing around the house, something like that to awaken my heart and connect with God. Because it's in those times of connection where clarity comes, where vision comes. And not only that, where healing comes. When you connect with God, you're connecting with the source of everything good in this life. If there's anything good in this life, it's because it came from God. He is the source of all good. And so when you draw near to God, you're drawing near to that good. He begins to heal your heart, instill new vision. And here you know David is brokenhearted. He was in a season of life where he made severe mistakes, and those mistakes were not only costing him dearly, but costing his family dearly. But even in that, when that season changed, he was able to just let it go. He was able to act like almost like it had never happened. How was he able to do that? Because there are some hurts in your heart that only the Lord can heal. There's some wounds that life will give you, wound you because of, you feel like you're less of a man because that career didn't work out or that job didn't turn out the way you wanted to, or you feel like you're less of a woman because of something that happened in your family or something that happened between you and your children or you and your husband. And those things wound our soul. But when you go to the Lord and you have that time of worship, friends, He will restore your soul. He'll come in your soul and restore it, breathe life into it, breathe energy into it. And that's what David was doing. In a time where he was broken, he went to the Lord in worship. And in that time of worship, the Lord began to restore his soul. Watch what happens after this in verse 21. Then said his servants unto him, "What thing is this that thou hast done?" They're confused by his behavior. "Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread." They're confused. They're saying, while you were in this season of life, while the child was just sick, you were weeping and you were mourning and you were fasting. But now that the child is dead, you're not showing any of those emotions. It's like you've completely moved on. And David tells him pretty much, that's exactly what I've done. He says in verse 22, "And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." David knew that that season of his life was over, that that child was no longer on this earth, but it didn't mean that he had to stop living. He forgave himself, he received healing from the Lord, and he began to start a new season in life. He knew he would see that child again. He knew he would go to that child, but it wasn't over in that regard. But he realized that if I'm ever going to live a good life, I got to let that life go, and I've got to start over again in a new season. Friend, I'm telling you, you've got to learn when seasons change. And when those seasons do change, you got to let go of the old and believe that your best days are not behind you, but instead your best days are out in front of you. You've got to receive that healing from the Lord and start dreaming again. Start having a new vision again. And that's exactly what David did. David moved on. He let go of his mistakes. He let go of his past failures. He let go of the hurt and the pain. He let it go and said, "I'm going to start a new season." He went in with his wife Bathsheba. Notice what happens here in verse 24. "And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went unto her and lay with her. And she bore a son and called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. and sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet. And he called his name very hard name because of the Lord. And that very hard name means the one that the Lord loves. I want you to notice this. David messed up, friends, in a bad way. In fact, on the screens, pull up for me that scripture in Ephesians, that one in the Amplified that you have in the computer, Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified. David messed up in a very, very bad way. Very bad. And for a season of life, it took his life off course. David being with Bathsheba was not God's best. It was not God's highest for David. That was Uriah's wife. It was a sin to take her, and it was definitely a sin to knock off her husband to have her. David made a mistake. But David did something that so many people just seem like they can never do. David forgave himself. He embraced what God had for him. And he realized that just because I didn't get to my ultimate destiny doesn't mean that I can't still get to it. Just because that one route is closed doesn't mean that God doesn't have a new route for me. On Wednesday, I was getting ready for our Wednesday night service. And just for fun, I was reading a couple of scriptures out of my father's old Amplified. It's a beat up Bible. I can't use it that much. I just keep it on the desk. But for fun, I pulled it out. It was given to my father by my mother in 1979. And she wrote on it, "The only occasion is love for you only, my precious gift, June 19th, 1979. And so it's one of those things that I hold very close to my heart. I picked it up and I began reading a scripture that I was studying for that evening. And it's in Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 10. You don't have to go to it on the screens. I'll just read it out of my Bible. You can keep that one up. Are you in Ephesians? No. Which one are you in? Yeah, you're in Ephesians. Go to the one in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. I'll go to Corinthians. You stay in Ephesians. I was reading this one in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 and getting ready for that Wednesday night service. And when I did, I realized in Corinthians that this is the only time I've ever seen my father do this. He put two hearts by this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Now, I have a lot of his Bibles. He had multiple translations. I have his preaching Bibles, his old ones. They're all beat up because he preached out of them so much. And I have never seen him ever put a heart by any scripture. And he put two hearts by this scripture. And the scripture in the Amplified in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 reads this way. It says, "But on the contrary, as the scripture says, what eye has not seen, and what ear has not heard, and what has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared." But he didn't stop with just putting hearts here. He also circled it. "What God has prepared, made," and this is the part he circled and put hearts by, "keeps ready." What God keeps ready for those who love him, for those who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him and gratefully recognizing the benefits he has bestowed. I love that. I see why he put hearts by it. What God keeps ready. It would have been so easy for David to think, "I have messed up so bad. I have made so many mistakes in this that I can never get into the plan that God has for me." That this went so backwards and so completely different from the way I saw my life going that there is no way I can ever get to that place. That place that I know I saw in my heart. My father was a visionary. I mean, he was a visionary. He could see things in the sense of he'd always dream big. Our old sanctuary on Highway 18, he designed it so he could knock out a wall and double its size. Then after that, he went out and bought this property right after we paid our facility off in 1997 on Highway 18. Right after that, he went out and bought new property. You'd think you just paid off the old. Let's sit here and enjoy it for a while. But no, he went out and bought new property. Just always had a vision in his heart. And I know that there were times in his life where he probably felt that because of what had happened to him in life that he would never be able to do those things. I think that's why he circled this scripture. The things that God has prepared for you, as long as you're alive on this earth, God keeps them ready for you. He keeps them ready for you. And no matter what you've done, where you've been, if you had a vision, a dream in your heart at one time, and the avenue you were taking or the way you went in life seems as if it's taking you down a different path, that you'll never get to that place that you thought you were at. You've got to know that if God put it on your heart, friend, He is keeping it ready. That just because one way that you took didn't lead you there, that God still has another way to bring you into His best. This is what the scripture is telling us here in Ephesians. It says, "For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God has predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live." Friends, we say it all the time, but it's the truth. I don't care where you're at in life right now or how much pain you may be experiencing due to what you did to yourself or what somebody else is doing to you or something in life that is happening to you. I don't care how much pain you are in right now. God has a good life prepared for you. He has kept it ready for you. He has put His hand on that thing, and He will not allow the enemy to touch it. But you have to make up your mind that you will not regret your past or hold yourself in bondage by it. You will do exactly what David did. You will move on from it. You will forgive yourself. You will forget your past, and you will embrace the new season of life. David went in with Bathsheba with no regret, with no remorse, went in, and they produced Solomon. A man that not only they loved, but God loved. And he carried forth the legacy of King David. Carried forth the nation of Israel. Not only did David love him, God loved him. He kept ready that plan for a heir to come from David. David thought it was the other kid. But when that didn't work out, he didn't hold on to that pain. He believed that God could give him something new. And friend, I'm telling you, in order to do that, it takes being strong and of good courage to let go of the past and embrace the new. Friend, I want to exhort you one more time. God keeps ready the things that He has prepared for you. There's a good life that He's put His hand on, and He's keeping it ready for you. The only key will you keep moving towards it? And that's principle number two when people get discouraged, is the enemy will do whatever he can to try to hinder you. He cannot stop you, but he will try to hinder you. He will try to slow you down. But the only time he can stop you is when you allow yourself to stop. You have to keep moving forward. There's a motivational speaker that I'm reading after, and he mentions a friend who's another motivational speaker who primarily speaks in prisons and things like that. And this individual is a Vietnam vet. And in Vietnam, he was under attack, and from that attack, lost an eye and lost an arm. You can imagine how that would alter your life pretty significantly, to have that kind of loss in your life. And anyway, but he took that and decided, you know what, just because I don't have an arm, just because I don't have an eye, doesn't mean that I can't live a good life. And that's really what I'm getting at to you. Maybe you don't have what you thought you would have at this point. That doesn't change the fact that God has kept ready for you the vision that he gave you when you began. God is keeping it ready. And just because it hasn't gone the way that you thought it would go doesn't mean that the plan has changed. He still has that good life that he's prearranged ahead of time. And this guy embraced that. Just because I don't have an eye, just because I don't have an arm, does not mean that I can't live a good life. And every time he does any type of motivational speaking, he tells them the key to life is Fido. He said, no, I'm not talking about a dog. I'm talking about a principle I live by, Fido. Fido is the principle I live by. And everybody wants to know, what is Fido? He says, Fido is forget it and drive on. And friend, I'm telling you, that's what you got to do. Forget about everything that you experienced. Forget about all the pain. Forget about all the regret. And keep driving on. Don't allow that junk to hold you in bondage. Keep moving forward. You've got to understand the vision is for an appointed time. Keep waiting on it. Keep expecting it. Keep believing it. Refuse to lose heart. Keep the vision before you. And God will come through each and every time. Can I take you to one more scripture before we leave? All right, let me take you to one more. We'll close with this. I promise. Give me three more minutes. Matthew, go over to Matthew. I want to leave you with this because it's so good. I've never seen this parable in this light before. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Such a good parable. Jesus is talking about how the kingdom of God works, how life works. And he mentions this parable here in Matthew chapter 13 in verse 24. He said, another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. He didn't sow any bad seed. The seed that he sowed in his field was good seed. This man was doing everything right. But while the man slept, his enemy came in and sowed tares, or you could say bad seed, among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth the fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didn't thou sow good seed in the field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then go and gather them up? And he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, the root comes up also, the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, go ye, first bind the tares, and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. This was a man who was doing everything right. And maybe you've been at a season like that where you're doing everything right. The children of Israel, they weren't doing anything wrong. They were in the way that God had for them. In the way, though, what's the enemy always going to try to do? He wants to stop you from getting into God's best. The children of Israel were in the exact place where they should have been. They were in the perfect will of God for their life, doing everything right. But when the enemy presented challenges, they began to lose heart. This man did everything right. He's doing everything right to produce a good life, a good harvest, but an enemy came. Friend, there is an enemy who wants to hurt and hinder your life. And when he throws these obstacles, it's so easy to do the opposite of what this man did. The servants came to him and said, "Shouldn't we go and try to pluck up each and every one of these weeds?" And so oftentimes when those obstacles come, what do? We forget about the vision, we forget about the harvest, and we just go to work to try to pull up all of these different weeds. And all the while we're working, we're only getting more miserable, only losing track of the harvest that's coming. Basically what he was saying is, I'm going to enjoy my life. At the right time, the weeds will be separated from the good stuff, the weeds will be burned, and the good stuff will come to me. I'm not going to worry about trying to pull up all of these weeds. I'm just going to maintain my focus on the harvest. And friend, that is what you have to do. Don't grow frustrated looking at all this stuff that's wrong in your life. Keep looking at where you're going. Keep the vision before you. Enjoy your life. Have some fun. Rejoice with what you have in your life. Enjoy your spouse. Enjoy your kids. Enjoy your health. Have fun in life, knowing at just the right time, God's going to come in. He's going to pluck up all of these problems, all of this bad seed, and my harvest is coming to me. Amen. Don't lose heart. Amen. Don't lose heart. At just the right time, the harvest will come. In due season, if you don't faint, you will reap every time. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me